Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Turn with us tonight to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, I'm going to be reading from verse number 12. I'm excited. Appreciate the word. There are times when it just shines. And I love that more than anything else. I treasure the power of the living word. The word that speaks. It's not dead. It's not something I give life to. It doesn't depend. Let me be careful. It does not depend on me. The word is not dependent on the speaker, right? But it has nothing to do with my ability to speak or not speak. The eloquence of speech, the ability or gift of speech, none of that is what gives the word of God power. It has power of its own. And I want to read to you tonight some very powerful scripture. Pray for me. And I'm beginning at verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. We'll begin at verse number 12 and read down through verse number 17. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Pray with us. Lord, thank you for your word. We trust that you'll speak into the hearts of each and every precious soul. We need your word. We're hungry for your word. We pray that you would touch us with this truth, and may it encourage our hearts, and may it strengthen us, and may it find root in our soul, that it always be with us, that in those times when we seem the lowest, and when the times when the enemy would attack in the greatest ways, we pray this word be there, that this word would rescue us. Help us now to receive it, to accept it, and Lord, to obey it. For we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. As Paul's writing to his disciple, his son in the faith, Timothy, I love how he starts and ends all of his letters, but we find here that there was a special thankfulness that Paul wanted to share with Timothy. Now, the thankfulness was not just to Timothy. I believe he understood that when he was writing, his being moved of the Holy Spirit to pen these words to his disciples and Timothy and to all the churches that they would go into, he recognized, I believe, that it was the word of God. But here we find a heartfelt thankfulness. And I wonder in all of us how many times that we're careful to give thanks for what God does. Now, we can find plenty to complain about. Even if it's not really things to complain about, we'll complain about it. But when it comes right down to it, what are we grateful for? Right? You can be grateful for the things that are external in nature, but you might not have those things tomorrow. All of those things are things that come and go. They're temporal in nature. You know what we really ought to be grateful for is those things that can't change. Grateful for the fact that there's something that he gave me the world can't take away. You see, I could go home and what I own there on Tipton Loop Road could be burnt to the ground. Everything that I have could be either stolen or gone. You know, I don't control any of those things. I really have no control over most things. But oh, how I thank God for those things that are eternal in nature. We ought to be grateful, certainly grateful for those things that God has blessed us with, and a place to sleep, clothes to wear, food to eat. All of these things are gifts of God. God promises that the Father has made to his children, and certainly things that every day we ought to be grateful for. How grateful we ought to be that we can get up or sit down. How many times have you been grateful that you can open your eyes and see into a page and actually hear someone speak to you? These are things we often take for granted, and yet we find the Apostle Paul here writing and speaking about his gratefulness unto Timothy. And then when we think about this, I want you to look specifically at what he begins to speak about. The Bible said, and he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." I want you to see first about the apostle's humble spirit as he says, "Everything that I have ever done, he enabled me to do." Oh, there's never been a place where we could stand and boast of ourselves. Boast of what we've done. Boast in our accomplishments. Boast in any ability or gift that we have. If you can do anything, it's because he's enabled you to do it. And that's a realization I believe that many in this world has not come to. They think by their own gifts or their own abilities or their own capacity that they've been able to do these wondrous things or go to these wondrous places. But all of these things, friend, we ought to be reminded that he hath enabled me to do it. But far more than that, what the apostle is speaking of is that I'm thankful to God that he hath enabled me to be a part of the ministry, to be a part of the family of God. How many times have we hit our knees and thanked him, as was said tonight, about being a part of something bigger than us, a part of a loving family, a people that loves us and prays for us and shares with us and weeps with us and serves with us. I'm thankful that he's counted me worthy to be a part of his great family. The apostle said he's made me, he's enabled me to be a part of this wondrous thing, for he hath counted me faithful and put me into the ministry. Now what he says next in verse number 13, he said, who was before a blasphemer. Now, he could have counted me a blasphemer, but he didn't. He could have counted me a persecutor, but he didn't. He could have counted me injurious. You see, the Apostle Paul had done great harm to many a personal, to many people of the church. He had locked them up. Even Stephen consented to his death and seen to it that he was stoned to death. He had been injurious, a persecutor, a blasphemer. You see, God could have called me any of those things, but he didn't. He didn't call me those things. He called me faithful. He counted me faithful and put me into the ministry. The Apostle Paul recognized the power of this truth. He recognized the immensity, the enormity of this truth. I want to ask each one of you, what makes you worthy for God to count you faithful? Has he not enabled us all? Has he not brought us out of the darkness into the light? Are we not to be grateful of heart for all of the good things that God has done for us? Surely we're grateful. Surely our hearts is overwhelmed by the great things that God has done. And surely the greatest of those is that he has counted us faithful and put us into the ministry and the work of God. And all of these things he didn't have to do. He didn't have to do. He covers that in verse number 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. I ask you tonight, what merit is it that caused God to count you faithful? To bring you out of the darkness into the light? to count you instead of a blasphemer, an injurious, and a persecutor, and instead of being those things that truly we were before he brought us into this place. What is it that truly caused God to do that? Nothing but grace. Nothing but grace. You say, how in the world can a person go from something so rotten to something so saved? And the apostle said, I obtained mercy, you see. I obtained mercy because I did it in unbelief. I did it ignorantly. All of those things that I did them ignorantly. Oh, it's hard, isn't it, when we look on the other side and we see those that revile us and those that call us the names and those that would persecute us and would injure us. All of those that seemingly working for the enemy out there. It'd be easy to stand over here and to hate them too, wouldn't it? It'd be easy for us to look over there and say, well, that's my enemy. But according to the word of God, that's who I was. It was in my ignorance and my unbelief that I lived that way. And yet even in that condition, God still loved me. He still cared for my soul and counted me faithful and extended to me grace. You see, grace is something anymore that people have cheapened. They think because God is able to forgive that he's entitled or obliged to forgive. May I say to you very clearly that God is not obliged to forgive you for anything. He's not entitled to forgive you. He has not a reason or a requirement to forgive you. The only reason God forgives you and I is because of grace. It's because he wants to forgive me. He doesn't have to forgive me. He's not obliged to forgive me. But the Apostle Paul said all of those things that I was before. He said I did them ignorantly in unbelief. Yes, was I a horrible person? He said, yes, I was. Was I terrible and hateful and injurious to the people of God? He said, yes, I was. And he said, those things I did ignorantly in my unbelief. Oh, but he said, I thank God. I thank my God who hath enabled me. For he hath counted me faithful and put me into the ministry. He could have counted me anything, but he counted me faithful. Oh, what a wondrous truth that God would love you and I in such a way. You say, well, I've had patience up to this point with those people, but I'm just not going to have patience anymore. And I say to you today, if that was God's attitude, we'd all be in hell. We'd all be desperately lost. If God ever one time stopped being merciful, we'd all end up in hell. Aren't you glad today that he hath enabled you? Counted you faithful instead of calling you what you really are or really were. He called you out of darkness and counted you faithful and had, by his grace, brought you into this marvelous light. What a wondrous truth that God is gracious. He's not obliged to give me anything. He doesn't have to do anything. I am the pot. I'm not the creator. I'm not the maker, the creator. I'm simply the vessel, and you are too. We're the created. The creator has no right to the created to do anything except what he chooses. But here the Apostle Paul said, verse number 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. I'd say all of us could say amen to that. The one thing that rescued me from hell was the abundant grace of God. I didn't deserve it. No, he said, on the contrary, I was a persecutor, a blasphemer. I was injurious to the people of God. I deserved to be in hell. But by his abundant grace, he's rescued me. More than rescued me. He counted me faithful. It overwhelms my soul to even preach to you. It overwhelms me to think that God would bring me into this family. Into the wondrous family of God, to save my soul, to give me an eternity in heaven that the enemy can't take away. I can't be extracted from the hand of God. I can never be forsaken. I am saved by God's grace. What an exceeding abundant grace it is. My goodness, if that doesn't encourage my heart. I can't speak for nobody else, but it excites me when I think about what God has done for me. Paul said it wasn't just the exceeding grace of God. He said, but he gave me faith. And he gave me love in Christ Jesus. My, what gifts that God has poured out upon me. Was he obliged to do it? Was there some merit that I put? No, not in the least. Not one time have I ever earned the wondrous and exceeding wondrous gifts of God. No, never. By grace, an exceeding abundant grace, he's redeemed me, lifted me up out of that horrible pit. Set my feet on a solid rock. Established my goals. You say, well, God had to do that. You were really a special person, Steve. He just really had. No, there was nothing that obliged God to do that in any way but grace. Grace that he loved something like me or loved something like you. Grace which was poured out at Calvary. Grace which was bestowed at an empty tomb. Grace which looks down on you and I as we run as blasphemers and injurious and persecutors to this world. It's grace that delivers us. It's grace and an exceeding abundance of grace. And not grace alone, but grace with faith. And love, faith and love. These are gifts that come directly along with the grace of God. And the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. May I say today that everything that we have, if it's eternal in nature, if it's good, if it's holy, if it's peace, if it's anything that is beyond the corruption of this world, then it's tied to the grace of God with the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And so the apostle in verse number 15 says this then. He said, oh, this is a faithful saying. He said, having said that to you, having explained to you that what brought me out of that darkness was the exceeding abundant grace of God. Right? What Paul is admitting is that what God should have done is counted him a blasphemer and destroyed him. What God should have done was send him on into hell, which is what he deserved. He said, no, but the grace of God with faith and love in Christ Jesus, he hath redeemed me. Therefore, he said, I conclude, I summarize, I tell you, I declare to the world that this is a faithful saying and it's worthy of everyone accepting it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, it's the hardest thing in the world to preach to a bunch of good saints. Right? Because the first thing they forget is what a sorry sinner that they were. God help us never to forget that we were sinners. We don't have to wallow in it. We don't have to live defeated by it. But we should never forget that we were the worst of sinners. We were rotten and wretched and unsavable in the world. And yet God, by his grace, with faith and love through Christ Jesus, hath rescued me from that awful torment in hell. What grace. What grace that the apostle Paul I can see him in my mind's eye as he just declares that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Surely you must believe that, he said. Surely you'll accept this truth that if God would rescue me after being a persecutor and a blasphemer of his very name, then he's certainly come to save sinners, has he not? Is that not what he's saying? Has he not come to save sinners? Oh, it's a faithful saying. Which means it's true. It's true. It's a faithful saying. And he said it's worthy of all acceptation by everyone that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. By the way, he said, whom I consider myself the worst. Right? I don't know about you, but it's good news. Right? This is good news. It doesn't make any difference how far you've gone. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. Right? Sin is sin. And oh, how grateful that I am that Jesus died for sinners. On the cross, the Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin. He didn't become a sinner. He became sin. He took my sin on himself and he died in my place. He suffered the wrath of God on that cross. The penalty of God for my sin was borne by Jesus Christ. Therefore, when I leave this world, I leave not abandoned by everything and the corruption of this flesh, but I leave saved and on my way to a glorious place. How do I get there? Nothing I've done. No, it's a faithful saying that I tell you. Jesus came to save sinners. Of whom I am chief. Anybody feel that way? Of whom I am chief. Anybody think back in your mind to those days when you lived apart from God as an enemy to God? That you lived in the sinfulness of your own flesh, despising the people of God, taking his holy name in vain, living and breaking all of those commandments as if they meant nothing to anyone. And yet one day, by grace, he reaches down. By grace, he opens up your mind to faith. By grace, he troubles your heart. By grace, he leads you. And through his love, he brings you into that life. And suddenly, you're transformed into a new creature. Suddenly, the things you once loved, you now hate. And the things you once hated, now you love them. It surely is a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Of whom I am chief. Saved. Paul's pretty excited here. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm picking up on. When I read this passage, Paul is excited to say that I didn't deserve anything but death. Was I horrible? Yes. He said I was the chief of sinners. What Paul was saying was, you can't get any worse than I was. Paul was saying, you can't get any farther from Christ than I was. Putting people to death in the name of God, who he really didn't know either. What a blasphemer. Putting down the name of Jesus Christ as he put down his people. Paul said, they wasn't any worse than me. No, I am chief of sinners. Oh, but he said the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Anybody feel that way? Yeah. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant, Roger. Exceeding abundant toward you, toward me. With faith, he granted me. And with love that he poured into me. Which is in Christ Jesus. So surely we all could declare to the world, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. How do we know that? Because he saved me. Right? That personal testimony that the apostle is using, he's using himself in this. I heard a guy, a preacher once said, you know, never use yourself as an example in a message. And I thought, well, you might as well write me out. I've done failed as a preacher. Truth is I'm the only one I really know. Now, maybe I shouldn't be as transparent as I am, but it's what I know. I know I'm a sinner. And that God can save sinners because he saved me. He made a new creature out of me. Therefore, we ought to take heart and tell everyone we know that this is good news, that Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, verse 16, howbeit for this cause, he said, I obtained mercy. Now, what the Apostle Paul was recognizing was that God had an appointment for him before he ever knew about it. That God had already decided what he was going to make of the Apostle Paul before the Apostle Paul was ever even converted. And let's be clear, God's already got your plan. God already knows your days. He knows how long you're going to live. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything. And yet what the Apostle Paul started with was, I thank God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. That he counted me faithful, right? He didn't count me a blasphemer or a persecutor or injurious. No, he counted me faithful. In that he put me into the ministry. Because I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Surely, surely Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering. What the Apostle Paul was saying was that what the work that God did in him was the first fruits of what he intended to do through a bunch of others. Right? And if there was anybody in the New Testament that we can look at and recognize that God used them to help share the gospel with the rest of the world, right? You had all the disciples, some of the disciples going into these Gentile countries, but you had a lot of the disciples that stuck around Jerusalem. They stuck around where the Jews were at. Mostly. But the Apostle Paul, according to his own ministry, was sent to the Gentile. And oh, what a ministry it was. Is. Still is, right? What a ministry. He said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. He said, listen, the mercy that he had on me, he did so that he might have it on you. Right? What he did to me, the long suffering, right? When he should have struck me dead at the first blaspheme of his holy name, he was long suffering toward me, knowing that there was a day coming that he would change me and put me into a path that would take me into the hearts of so many others and would share with them the truth of this gospel. And I, of all people, could say to them with a fervency and a truthfulness that Jesus Christ saves sinners. Amen. What I tell you tonight is not secondhand information. I'm not simply recounting the personal testimony of one Apostle Paul. I wasn't there. I didn't know it. But I can tell you what he did for me. And might also say, howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. Who's to say, howbeit for the single cause of me standing right here this night telling this story, he had mercy on me. And saved me. God, help us not to miss it, right? Howbeit, he said, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern, right? Because what he was doing was setting up the pattern. What pattern? That God would take the vilest and wretched of sinners and could change them into a new creature. Change them into a Christ-loving, Christ-serving, Christ-following member of the family of God. That's the pattern. Paul said, I was just one of the first. And I obtained mercy for this reason, that my very life, that the long suffering of God toward me might be my testimony to hundreds or thousands of other people in telling them that of a surety God loves sinners. God will save the sinner. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Right? All right, so I'm gonna create some interactivity here. I'm just gonna ask you a question. Have you believed in Jesus Christ and received eternal life. Anybody? Anybody? What the Apostle Paul was saying, that what happened to me is simply a pattern of what he wants to do in everyone else. And you say, well, how in the world do you get people to understand that? You tell them the story. You give them the good news. You let them know that there is a faithful saying and it is worthy of you accepting it. Well, what is that saying? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then you can put your own two cents, of whom I am chief. Right? We don't have to go back and live in the past and live in the revelry of ungodliness. We don't have to recount every awful and hideous and heinous thing that we've ever done or thought. We don't have to open up that box. But we can say, believe me, friend, when I tell you, I did not deserve to live. I didn't deserve the breath I needed to breathe. But the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant, right? We could say that, can't we? We could tell another poor soul that's ignorant and unbelief out there, just like we were. We can look them in the eye, even though they may despise us or hate us or call us names or be injurious toward us. We could look them in the eye and say, listen, I know where you're at. I've been there. I've been there. I understand that darkness. I understand that pain. I understand that hurt and that hatred. I understand all of these things. Oh, but the grace of God is exceeding abundant. It's able to rescue you. How do you know? How do you know? I'll tell you how I know, because I've experienced it myself. And God's long suffering in my life, may it be simply for this cause, that I look another poor soul in the eye and say, it's not hopeless, friend. There's one that loves you. Because he saved me, he can save you. Amen. Albeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. Now, I believe this catches people off guard, and probably, truth be known, maybe not everybody here wants me to go this direction, but I got to tell it. Because the truth is that when he saved you, it wasn't to warm a bench. When he saved you to implement the pattern that would therein follow after you, that you would go out also into the world and look the lost creation in an eye and say to them, you also can be saved. For this cause. Right? I realize that what I'm doing now is applying application to the message, right? Because really it's about what does it say and what does it mean and then what does it mean to me, right? That's preaching. That's what it's all about. What does it say, what does it mean, and what does it mean to me? So here's the application. For this cause, I obtained mercy. Let's be clear. You obtained mercy for a cause. Right? Some people get saved and it seems that they just kind of sit back and, wave a Jesus flag. And that's about it. I want you to know that there's more to it than that. And that many of us are shirking our responsibility to what? To the cause of Jesus Christ. Remember the story when David rode up and Goliath was down there making his brag? Yeah. David rode up and the children of Israel cowered down behind the bushes while Goliath was down there making his brags about, send me a champion. And David heard it. So that's what we're missing in this country today. We're missing some heart for God. David heard Goliath down there making his brag about slaying anybody that would come down there. Defying, according to the Bible, defying the army of the living God. Defying them. And when David heard it, the Bible said that old David said, I'll go fight him. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that doth defy the army of God? He said, I'll go fight him. His brother said, you're just trying to start trouble. I know your proud heart. And David looked at him and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause in this battle? Is there not a cause? Help it. I just love what Paul's trying to say here. Right? He's poured his guts out to him in thankfulness, saying, God saved a worthless wretch like me. Oh, but he said there was cause, you see. See, God don't do anything arbitrarily. No, God doesn't do anything happenstance or just for no reason. No, when he saved you, there was a cause. And the Apostle Paul's clear. He said, let me tell you how be it. He said, for this cause, I obtained mercy. That in me, first, that Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. You see the pattern? For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him for life everlasting. Now that's a cause. For that cause, men and women just like you have been going to church and reading their Bibles and praying and looking sinners in the eye and saying, Jesus Christ came to save you. Amen. How do you know, preacher? Because he saved me. There's the pattern. He said, Jesus did all of this in me that there might be a pattern for all them hereafter that would believe on him for life everlasting. I think he's really getting fired up. Let me finish. Verse number 17. Don't you? Huh? Doesn't it? Doesn't something burn in you when you go to talking about the grace that was extended to you? Let me tell you something. If it don't mean anything to you, you probably didn't get it. But if you was truly a sinner and now you're a saint, bless God, you'll share it with somebody with a genuine testimony that I can assure you, Alfred, that if you're lost, he can save you. I don't know, preacher. No, I assure you, Alfred. Listen to me. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy that you receive it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. To save sinners. You sure? You sure he can? Yes, I'm sure he can save you. Because he saved me. I obtained mercy, friend, for this cause, that I might also tell you that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that he can save you. Well, read it with me. Now unto him. Right, he's wanting to praise him a little right now. Here's what he said. Now unto him, the king. And I just love, he put three adjectives behind the subject. Not in front of it, he put it behind the subject. He said, now unto him, the king. And here's what he said. Eternal, immortal, invisible. The only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever, he said. Amen. Right? Can you see him writing that one? Right? That's kind of ending to a letter, I'd say. Well, that's a good letter. But of course, he had more to say. But my, didn't he say a lot right there? As you go into this holy season, I pray as you awake on Christmas morning that your mind would bask in this scripture. Now unto him, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Now unto him, I'm going to say it, unto him, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. He loves sinners. And he saved you for a cause. And that cause is to be the pattern of other sinners coming to know who Jesus Christ is, just like you came to know him. That's the pattern. And there is a cause. And he saved you for that cause. You obtained mercy so that you might also be one of those that lead that same cause into the lives of others, that they might also know that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's our purpose. That's our cause. Bless his name. We're part of it. We're part of it. I don't deserve such a grand privilege to be where I am right now. It overwhelms me to think that he counted me faithful to put me into this ministry. But he did. He did. I obtained mercy for this cause, that I might also take up the standard of the pattern that has been given, that all men may know Jesus Christ saves sinners. Well, come and get a song. The only wise God. Read it.
Words of the song. Yesterday I was really struggling with just things and listening to some music, and this song came on and I was able to rejoice, and I'm thankful for that. But listen to the words. There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. This sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then, I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus, and I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost until I fell at the cross and got saved. The love of God gave me his pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus, and I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Yeah.
And I just felt like that really went along with what you had to say, because sometimes our focus gets so lost on this world.
That's right.
And that's right. The hopelessness that's around it. Yep. Yet when I know the hope that he brought into the world, if I could keep my mind and my eyes on him,
yeah,
I would share more of the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
And then share, that means live. Right? Live the gospel. That others might know Him. That they might hunger and thirst for that same peace that you have. For this cause you were saved. For this cause He brought you out of darkness. Not just so you could sit happy and ready to go. He brought you out so that you might, as the same pattern, take Jesus to a world that is without Him. Let's be grateful. Let's be grateful. Stand as we sing. Just a verse. If you need Him tonight, the invitation is to come. Trust Him.